with us. We're excited to see Taylor and Travis here. Welcome. Their first time visiting. Let me call you out. I'm sorry. We're so glad you're here. And anyone else who is here visiting with us, we're so happy that you're here. If you haven't checked in at our Welcome Center out in the lobby, we invite you to do so, just so we can connect with you. If you're joining us online, thank you. There's a bit.ly link we'd love for you to click on and fill that out as well. Part of worshiping Jesus, there's so many parts of this, how we worship him. We worship him with our words, and we worship him with our actions, and we worship him in song when we come together. We worship him when we're serving, and we also worship him when we're giving. When we're saying, you know what, Lord, you gave this to me. I'm going to give it back to you for your kingdom, for your purposes, and he just takes care of us. Thank you for being faithful and for giving and supporting the kingdom. We do have several ways that you can give. If you are not familiar with them, they are on the screen. You can give online. If you'd like to give in person, we have an offering box out in the hall, two of them on this side. You can mail it in. You can give it in the app. However you want to give, we'll help you give. And Jesus will bless that, and he will use it. Here in this church, we use those funds not only for the local body, the local church campus here, but we have several extension works in our communities. We also support missionaries across the world. So thank you for giving. Good news. It stopped raining. Woo! Now, good news. We are getting the parking lot sealed and striped. Woohoo! We're so excited. So that means that Thursday and Friday of this week, you can't come here. I mean, you can, but you're going to have to walk because you can't come on the lot, okay? So Thursday is going to be our sealing. We're going to get we might need goats to take care of the weeds, but we're going to get a couple coats of sealant on the parking lot, and then they're going to come through on Friday, and they're going to stripe it so you know where to park your vehicle. Yay! I'm so excited. It's going to look so nice. So nice. Also coming up, family camp. This Sunday, family camp is beginning. This poster is out there for you to look at, but we do invite you, if there's any time that you have, we'll be having camp starting Sunday night in Shawnee, Wisconsin, and it will go through Friday. If you can come to one of those days, I encourage you to come. You will be blessed. Brother Littles is the day speaker. Wow, what a teacher. He's one of my favorites. Come and you will be blessed. I know the evening speakers are up there. Brother Carson is also a very anointed man of God, and you will not be disappointed. So if you can't come for the whole week and join us, come for a day, come for a service. You will not be disappointed. That said, know that the church office will be closed next week because many of us, most of us, not all of us, will be there. So keep that in mind for next week. And then also coming up after camp, we decided to wait till after camp on July 7th. Our next term of Elements will be starting. Elements, if you're not familiar with that, they're foundational classes that we teach here at Calvary. The first session talks about foundational elements. The second series is relational elements. And then we get into doctrinal and lifestyle. And it's just a great time of coming together in a smaller setting with phenomenal teachers. I think they're phenomenal. Teachers. So we invite you, if you have not participated, if you're interested, please join that class. If you're in the class, your next class will begin July 7th. All right. And looking ahead into the month of July, it's summer, it's busy, but we're still going to be here, and we're still going to have church, and we're still going to pursue Christ in everything that we do. And in part of that, coming up, mark your calendars. July 8th, 9th, and 10th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, is going to be our corporate days of prayer and fasting. We're not going to tell you how to do this. We're just going to ask you to do this. Commit those days and that time to pray together in unity. We'll have some more information for you on what that looks like as Pastor gives us the direction for how we will be fasting. The emphasis is going to be on faith, that our faith fails not, and that we take action on our faith. So that's coming up on July 12th. We'll have all church prayer. We'll come together. We'll meet in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. for an hour. And then also July 14th, Brother Morton Bustard will be returning to Calvary Gospel and ministering to us. We're excited about that. We encourage you to bring somebody. Every day, we encourage you to bring somebody. Bring somebody Wednesday. Bring somebody next Sunday. But especially bring somebody when Brother Bustard is here. We believe the Lord will do great things. And speaking of great things, I'd like to invite Sister Martha up here to share some good news with us as well.
Hello, I am Martha Chernikowski, and I'm here to give you a year-end update about Bible quizzing. First of all, I just heard a quote this weekend that the most important task of leadership is to influence a positive culture. Not so much supervising people. That's not first. It's influencing a positive culture. And with that said, I want to give a shout out to our core leadership team first. Jacob and Alyssa Zimmerman finished this year as their first year as senior Bible quizzing head coaches. They have been incredible. This duo has been so great to work with, and they are willing to spend their own time one-on-one with the quizzers, even driving to the Dells to quiz with Bella and Livy once a week. I think that's incredible. Thanks, you guys. Looking forward to more great things. And then I have to tell you about Tara Price, who is leaving us. This is her fourth and last year of Bible quizzing leadership. She's been in Wisconsin for 4 years and now is on to the Great Salt Lake. But she has left her mark on Bible quizzing in a big way. In her time here, she prodded all of us from the dark ages of paper scorekeeping to computer scorekeeping and even updated quiz practice equipment. Thank you, Tara, for 4 years of quiz trips, technology, coffee stops, and great leadership in general. But then you can't have great leadership if you don't have people to lead, so we got to get to the kids. Kamaya and Aaron Zimmerman represented our experienced and junior divisions this year. Cammie quizzed with a team from Clintonville, and Aaron quizzed with a team from Parkway. The senior verse count this year was more than 500 verses, and the junior count was 265. That was nothing to sneeze at. These kids worked and had some great tournaments with great friends. So if we could give them a round of applause, that'd be great. Then we come to the intermediate division, learning more than 400 verses. Isabella Wall, Luke Merkus, and Olivia Wall quizzed together. This team learned their verses, practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. All that to say, that hard work paid off. They went to the state finals tournament just a few weeks ago in June and came back with not just first place, but first place undefeated. Pastor, could you please come up here? We would like to present you with this trophy. So if you could come up, and Luke is at camp this week, but Livy and Bella would like to present this trophy to our pastor. This team will represent our church and our state as Wisconsin won in the national tournament that goes from July 26th through the 30th in St. Charles, Missouri. If you would like to follow along, ask a quizzer or a member of the leadership team how you can do that online. And to finish off, I just want to thank everyone for your support and your prayers for our quizzing ministry. We appreciate so much all of the offerings, the prayers, encouraging words, and of course, bake sale support. Thank you so much. And now we are going to go into a time of prayer for our service. The one prayer praise report that I want to give is Zippy. Zippy, who I believe is with us today. Yep, right back there. Is doing phenomenal, and I believe he is in full remission. Do I have that right? He is in full remission. I think that's incredible. God is so good. We have other people here that are really having a need, right? And so if you have a need, an unspoken request, if you could raise your hand, if you can find somebody to pray with, that would be great. Let's just go to God in prayer. Thank him for the service and ask him to meet our needs. We sure love you, Jesus. You are so faithful and so true, Lord God. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, to come boldly before your throne, Lord God, for the people today that have specific needs, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to wrap your loving arms around us, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, for our service today, Lord Jesus, for our pastor as he brings us the word, Lord God. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus, to receive from you what it is that you would have to say specifically to me today, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity. Let your presence flow, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would accept our worship, Lord Jesus, as an offering of praise, Lord God, to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Anoint each one of our praise singers and musicians, Lord God, as we go into a place of worship. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, in your precious holy name. Amen.
hearts together. There's no one higher than you. Dream team, my defender, our great and mighty Savior. There's no one higher than you.
Great. you just lift up your voice to him right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, God. There is nobody like you, God. There is nobody that is higher than you, God. There is none that is stronger than you, Lord. There is none that is more able than you, God. Lord, we bring an offering of praise this morning, Jesus. We bring an offering of praise, God.
There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious.
We feel your presence right now, God. Oh, and we don't hold back this morning. Oh, God, we pour out our hearts and we pour out our prayers and we pour out our praise to you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's nobody higher than you, God. There's nobody greater than you, God. Yeah.
Lord, we stand amazed in your presence.
Astounded
by your mercy and love.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Our hands are lifted high in surrender.
Lord, I feel you this morning, Jesus.
Your grace for me is always enough.
There's nobody higher than you, Lord.
There is no one higher than our God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is no one greater than you.
Presence, God, there is fullness of joy, God. We know in your presence that every fear can be wiped away, God. That nothing that we have can compare, God, to the glory that you deserve this morning, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. God, we honor you. Inhabit our praises this morning, I pray, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence,
hallelujah, God.
All of my gains now fade away. Every crown no longer on display. Trembling with all of your wonder, kings and kingdoms, kings and their kingdoms are standing amazed here in your presence. We are undone.
Breakthrough, Lord. We need a breakthrough this morning, Jesus. God, God. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor, God. You deserve all the praise this morning. Isn't he worthy? Isn't Jesus worthy this morning? Isn't he so worthy? The Lord with your voice. Maybe it's been a while for you since you closed your eyes and you raised your hands and you dug into worship, but I am asking you right now, remember the days when you stepped out in praise. Remember the days when maybe you ran the aisles. Remember the days when you let the tears flow, because he deserves our worship. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to you. He's done so much for me, and I just want to worship him. I just want to praise him. I just want to praise him this morning.
Such a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today. How many of you came here with a have-to-have-met need today? I just want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to just do what it was designed to do. So many times we come and we put God in a box, put him in a time frame, and say, Lord, I got to be out of here by this time, so move. And I believe that God wants to do something today in your life, in our lives. So let's just lift our hands one more time and let's just thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being here today. I thank you for the power and the presence that we feel in this place, Lord. I pray, God, that our faith would rise. Lord, all the needs that need to be met, Lord, for each and every one of my brothers, my sisters, our guests. Lord, we thank you, God. I thank you, God. Praise God, praise God. Thank you to our worship team for setting such a beautiful atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to move. You can be seated this morning. If you're a guest of ours, it is an honor to have you here. We're so thankful to have you worshiping with us today. We are in a series. And we've been talking about living the everyday principles of faith. So many times we read a book on faith, or we maybe watch a podcast or a message online on faith. And sometimes it's difficult. It's easy to hear someone else's story, but it's difficult to go through it yourself. And as a pastor, I'm often asked this question: why is this happening to me? I don't understand this. I thought I was doing everything I knew to do right. And I thought I was in the will of God and pursuing this dream that God has given me. But now I'm ready to just give it up. I'm tired, I'm frustrated, things aren't going well. Does this sound familiar perhaps to you today? And you see, when you don't understand the principles of faith, and I've struggled with this, and that's what led to this study, but if we don't understand the principles of faith, the steps that God takes us through, the process he wants us to go through, at times we can become resentful. We can look at God and we can say, God, I thought you were going to do this, this, and this, and that's not what happened. And we become resentful to God. We begin to question God. We get frustrated with God, and we can even lead us into a period of depression. I know that when we look at our future, sometimes we can become fearful about the future because we don't understand where God is taking us or why he is taking us through. And worst of all, we aren't always able to cooperate with what God wants to do in our lives. I know personally there are times where I didn't understand what God was trying to do, and you begin to fight back with God. I just want to encourage you today that it's hard to fight a three-fronted battle. And what I mean by that is we're always in a fight with the enemy. We're always in a fight with the evil influences and spirits that push against us every day. We're in a constant battle with the devil. But then there are times when we get ourselves and we get in a position to where we get frustrated with God and we begin to fight with God. And because we're fighting with the devil and we're fighting with God, inside of us we've got a battle going on in our own minds and in our own hearts. And we're fighting an internal battle as well. And God is looking at us and saying, you can't fight this way and continue. Something is going to break. So when we look at our lives, so many times we become resentful, we become depressed, we become fearful of the future. And God is trying to take us through a process. And we don't always like God's process. Now, we started this series a number of weeks ago, and last Wednesday night, we went into some very specific things about living the principles of faith. We started to introduce some of these principles. And I want to tell you this morning that these principles are very much like a GPS map in your car. Maybe if this is your first time to come here today, you probably looked this up online and you said, what is the GPS? What is the map? What is my phone? What is my whatever app you're using? What is it? How do I get there? We're planning a vacation in the fall, and I began to look over some of my apps. We're going to go camping and some of my camping apps. I want to know, how do I get to this location? How far is it from here to there? And faith, these principles that we're laying out for you and we're going to finish laying out this morning are very much like a GPS map in your car. It's going to tell us, it's going to tell you right where you are today. So we can better understand what's going on, and you're less likely to be discouraged when things that you don't understand or when things get tough come your way. You'll be able to take and look back and say, okay, Pastor laid out these principles of faith, and I know exactly where I am in this process. Now, in our passage of Scripture that we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We also read this in the Phillips version, which says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, and the world which we see has come into being through principles which are invisible. Now we're going to take and quickly recap a little bit of last Wednesday night study. We talked about dreams. We talked about how that faith, our faith journey starts with a dream. And God gives us a dream. We also covered decisions, to where when God gives us a dream or God gives us, we find our purpose in God and we begin to work towards that, whatever it may be. Everyone in here will be different because God works us through us and uses each and every one of us differently. So what my dream is and what your dream is may be different, but also we have to pursue that dream, whatever it may be, and then we have to make a decision. And that decision means we have to act upon that God-given dream. So I'm going to quickly move into our next step of faith this morning. And if you're taking notes, this would be principle number 3. We're going to talk about delays. Delays. When you pursue your dream, when God calls you, no matter what that may be, and God calls you and you begin to start on your journey, wherever that may take you, there is always going to be a waiting period. I'm just going to tell you, I hate at times God's waiting room. God calls us, God gives us a dream. God gives us a perhaps a plan and a purpose. We decide, yes, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do, God. If in my case, it's Lord, if you want me to preach and you want me to pastor, then that's what I'll do. So I start off on this journey, and I'm past the dream perhaps stage, and I'm past making the decision of, yes, I'm going to do this. And now all of a sudden, God takes and just parks us in this waiting room. And we sit sometimes. Why does God make us wait? Well, let me tell you the number one reason why God makes us wait. God makes us wait because God wants to work on us before he works on our calling. God looks at us and says, I've given you a dream. You've decided to step into that dream, that will, that purpose. Now we're going to have to take and smooth off some rough edges. Because where I want to take you, you're not yet prepared to go. So when we look at this, the purpose of the delay phase in life is to teach us to trust God and to be patient in his timing. So how do you handle God's waiting room of life? I want you to understand it's a clear measure of the strength of your faith. If you are an impatient person and you have struggles being patient, and you don't like to wait on anything, you're probably not going to fare well in principle number 3 of the steps of faith. So how does one keep going when your dream is delayed? We read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 in the NLT. It says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you feel like you've been waiting on God for a very long, long time. Maybe you can't relate, perhaps, maybe to the Israelites who wandered in the desert for 40 years while they were waiting on God to deliver them, and you feel like perhaps God has put your life and your dream on hold, and he hasn't given you any answer on your deliverance or what you wanted or expected, God still at times will make us wander in the desert. But there's always a purpose to that wait. God has put you in a waiting period. But just because God has placed you in a waiting period doesn't mean you put your life on hold. Instead, hear me, okay? Instead, the habits that you have formed, the spiritual habits that you have formed, are going to grow in your waiting room of life. So maybe God has you in a waiting period right now, and you're sitting there and you're frustrated. You don't understand it. You're ready to give up. You're just being stubborn with God. And God is saying, well, this is a testing ground. Your waiting period is often your first big testing ground. Because God is going to be looking at you, and he's going to see, what are you doing in your own personal faith waiting room? God says, well, there are a couple things that we should keep doing when we're in the waiting room. Sister Jessica taught a very beautiful, powerful message today on prayer. The number one thing that we need to do in our waiting room is pray. A lot of times we're like, well, I'm not hearing from God. God's not answering. God's not listening to me. So I'll just stop talking. That's what happens a lot, doesn't it? What did Matthew 7:7 say? It says, keep on asking. Don't stop. Keep on asking. You're going to receive. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That door is going to open. Keep on praying and you will get your answer. Keep on serving. A lot of times we want to say, well, you know, God's not using me how I thought I was going to be used, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back here from week to week, and I'm just going to let everybody else do the work. Well, the Bible says never be lazy. Romans 12:11, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Don't worry if you don't have a significant ministry. This is a good one to write down. Don't worry if you don't have a significant ministry. Make your ministry significant. A big difference there. Keep on going to church. I've known of people that said, well, you know, I've been praying for years for God to answer my prayers, and he doesn't, so I'm just giving up. I'm not going to go to church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. Since you see the day of the Lord is coming near, the closer we're getting to the end, the more often we ought to be at church, not the less often we ought to be at church. That's what the writer in Hebrews is sharing with us. Keep on sowing. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, keep on sowing your seed, for you will never know which will grow. Perhaps it all will grow. You see, you never know what God will do with the seeds you plant while you're in your waiting room. We have to keep on believing. Paul writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, you must keep on believing the things which you have been taught. You know they are true. So while you wait, stay active. Don't be passive. Understand something. It's difficult for God to steer a parked car. It's hard for you to steer a parked car. Don't tell God you're waiting on him. There are many times we've just looked at God and we've had this conversation. Well, God, I'm just waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. And God says, well, what I'm looking for is I'm looking to see what you're going to do while you're waiting. Are you going to be productive? Are you going to get in that car? Are you going to turn the ignition over? Are you going to start driving? You say, well, God, I don't know where to go. And sometimes God says, anywhere is better than where you're at. So get involved in a ministry. Get involved in service. Get involved in a connection group. Contribute to the kingdom. This is a testing grounds that God has you in. Do the things you know you could do. Do the things you know you could do before you develop your skills and habits to become more like Jesus. You see, God is wanting to develop us. God is wanting to grow us. He didn't just save us to stay in the same spot indefinitely. So principle number four is difficulties. Difficulties. Not only are we going to have to wait at times, but we're also going to have problems while we are waiting. You see, there's always going to be drama. There's always going to be problems. Even if your dream lines up with God's dream. And why is that? That there's always seems. Have you ever asked yourself, God, I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. But every time I turn around, there's a problem. You see, there are problems when your dream lines up with God's dream. And the reason is because God is working not just on your faith. God is working on your character. And we have to understand one thing about God, Brother John Repka. God is more interested in your character than he is interested in how comfortable you are. So God's working on your faith and your character. Understand, godly faith and faith produces persistence. Faith is a powerful force. It unlocks the promises of God. It shows us the power of God. It turns our dreams into reality. It gives us the power to hold on when times get tough. And God doesn't always take us out of our problem. You see, instead of taking you out of your problem, more often than not, God will stretch your faith by taking you through your problem. He doesn't always take away the pain, but he gives you faith-filled ability to handle the pain. So if you've come through a major test or trial in your life, and you are on the other side of that per se, you are there because God gave you a faith-filled ability to handle that pain. God doesn't always take us out of the storm. That's frustrating because a lot of times we want God to just remove the storm. But God wants you to trust him in the middle of the storm. Faith gives us the power to hold on in tough times. Faith produces persistence. Study after study has shown that probably the most important characteristic that you could ever teach a child and that you and I need to learn as well as adults is resilience. It's the ability to bounce back and keep going. Nobody goes through life with an unbroken chain of success. We can't sit here and say, well, I'm 50 years old or I'm 61 years old and I've never lost at anything in my life. Nope, I can't say that. My record, I haven't kept track, but it probably has far more losses than it has wins. And I think we could all say that. Everybody has failures and mistakes. At times, we embarrass ourselves. We all have pain. We all have problems. Nobody here is immune to that. You say, well, I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I'm not supposed to have problems. Yeah. Okay, we need to talk it a little more in detail. The Holy Spirit, yes, it gives us power. to overcome. It gives us power to push through, but it doesn't give us power to where every problem that we're ever going to have is just dissipates before it even gets to us. We all have pressures. And the people who make it in life have resilience. And where do we get that resilience to keep on going? We get it from faith. It's believing God could do something at any moment that could change the direction of your life. And you don't want to miss out on this, so we have to keep moving forward. It's believing that God will do exactly what you need, what I need, when we need it, as we learn to rely on Him to accomplish His purpose in us. We're believing that God is going to give a great revival here at Calvary Gospel. And we collectively, all of us, have to put our faith in the same basket. We all have to believe that God is going, we have to rely on one another. We each have to do what God has called us to do in order to accomplish His purpose in us. This is a testimony of Paul. Paul was a great man of faith, and he writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8, and 9, and he tells them, he says, understand, we have to understand that the church in Corinth existed in a grossly sinful atmosphere which continued to press against the church. Many of the problems of the church found their basis in the life of the city itself. The atmosphere of Corinth was gross, unashamed immorality. And that spirit waged war against the church constantly. So Paul understood this. And he writes these words. He says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles." Have you ever felt that way? We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You see, Paul learned resilience through troubles that could have crushed him. His faith helped him to get up when he got knocked down. And your faith can do that exact same thing for you as well. Finally, the difficulties become so bad that you've come to your limit. You've tried everything. You've exhausted all your options. And now you've stepped into, or you have reached, the fifth principle of faith. And it just keeps getting better. I call this the principle of dead ends. Hear me out now. In the dead end phase of faith, the situation deteriorates from difficult to impossible. You see, you may be at the stage today where that your life has just gone from difficult to almost impossible. Well, I guess if I'm looking at the stages of faith, and there's six stages of faith, we're going to be exposing this more and putting into more practical application when I get back from my leave for surgery. I'm having ankle surgery, and I'll be out for some time here, 4 to 6 weeks. And when we get back, we're going to take these six principles, and we're going to apply them to the life of Abraham, and it's going to become much more personal and easy for us to understand and see. But this principle of dead ends, I guess if you're at this stage, a congratulations perhaps is in order, because you are in good company. Because what did the Apostle Paul wrote? He says that at the times we were completely overwhelmed, the burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. Yet we believe now that we had this experience of coming to the end of our tether, that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves, but the God who can raise the dead. You see, God not only can raise people from the dead physically, but he can raise people from the dead spiritually. He can raise people from the dead emotionally. He can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead career. He can breathe new life where all hope has died. And this steps into our last principle we're going to, which is principle number 6, which is the principle or the phase of deliverance. You see, at the end of all of this journey that you are on, God delivers. He doesn't always give you the outcome that you had hoped for or expected, but God delivers. He performs a miracle. Perhaps the miracle he's seeking to perform is in your life. He provides a solution. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. God loves to take hopelessness and turn it into a victory, and he loves to take dead ends and turn them into deliverance. Why? Because God gets the glory. God gets the glory. So my question today as we close out this message, God has given you a dream. What phase? That's what phase one is all about. If you don't have a dream, you're not living. You're just existing. So God has a dream. He has a purpose. He has a calling for all of us. And our musicians can come this morning. Maybe you're in phase two, and you have a dream from God, but have not made the decision yet to pursue it. You're still sitting on the fence, and you think you're waiting on God, but God is actually waiting on you. And God's word for your decision in this phase is to go for it. I remember a number of years ago in my life, and God had given me a dream, and I was deciding. I was in the decision phase of that dream. And I had prayed that God would, you can stand this morning, I'm almost finished. I had prayed that God would open up and speak. I said, Lord, I want to do this, but I want confirmation. Sometimes we pray for confirmation, and it was an amazing process. And within 2 days, I asked for 3 confirmations, and the very next day I had 2 confirmations, and I was sitting at my home on a Sunday afternoon, and God spoke to me and said, go to the church and pray. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, Lord, it's 4 o'clock. Church starts at 6. I'll go up for prayer at 5 like normal. And it was just like, God's like, no, go right now. I want you to go right now. So I went in and told my wife. I said, I'm not really quite for sure what's going on, but I said, I feel like God told me to go to the church and pray. So I want to get dressed, go to church, and pray. And I walked in the prayer room, and there was nobody in there, not a soul in there. I sat there for probably 35, 40 minutes, and I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, why am I here? There's nobody in here. A few minutes later, a brother walks in and just goes to the other side and starts to pray. And about halfway through the prayer time, I was kind of sitting there, and he looks up and looks at me, and it was like I felt like he wanted to say something, but he didn't. Church starts, and go through service, and all through service, I'm thinking, Lord, why did I come in here? What was the purpose in that? After service, this brother comes up to me, and he starts to cry, and he said, I came to the prayer early because God spoke to me. Say, go to church and pray. I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I will go. Now. So he said, you had the same argument I had. And he ends up, and he said, I was praying, and God spoke to me and said, I'm supposed to tell you something. But I chickened out because it didn't make sense to me. And I'm going to tell you what God spoke to me and told me to tell you, but I don't know what it means. I said, well, just tell me. And God says, he told me, he said, God told me to tell you to just go for it. Go for it. I said, brother, you may not know what it means, but I know full well what it means. So sometimes you think you're waiting on God and God's waiting on you, and God is telling you to just go for it. Whatever that dream is, don't delay. Go for it. Maybe you're in phase three right now and you've made the decision. You've had the dream and you made the decision, and now you're simply sitting in this waiting room and everything has been put on hold. You're asking God why your prayer hasn't been answered. But you see, you're in phase three. Remember, you're in God's waiting room. Don't try to detour and don't try to get ahead of God. You're there because God wants you there. And you need to find the purpose and why you are there. Whatever it is in your life that you're struggling with and you're not releasing to God, God is seeking. Don't get ahead of God. Wait for him to open the right door. Perhaps you're in phase four. You're being tested. And the difficulties you're facing while you wait for this dream to be fulfilled. God is looking at you and he says, I know exactly what you're going through. I can see it. I'm watching. Don't think I've forgotten you. I know exactly who you are, where you are. I've got this. Don't give up. Phase five, you may be thinking that I've hit this dead end. I've come this far, Lord. I've gone through the dream. I've made a decision. I've gone through the waiting room and I've been tested. And Lord, I feel like I'm just at this dead end. I'm ready to just throw in the towel. I'm ready to give up. God is saying, don't give up. Don't quit. You are almost there. Sister Fiona talked about a breakthrough. You're almost to your breakthrough point. Deliverance is right around the corner. Don't quit. Keep pushing. Sister Jessica made reference to this, if you're going through hell. It's a song, country western song. I thought of this, if you're going through hell, keep on going. Don't stop now. Maybe you're going to get in and out of there before the devil even knows you're there. Never thought I would quote those words in a sermon. Don't give up. You see, deliverance. Do you expect God to deliver you? This is where faith comes in. Do you expect God to deliver you? God is faithful. What he promises to do, he's going to do. Where God guides, he's going to provide. It doesn't happen overnight. So many times we want everything now. We pray today and we want an answer before we go to bed. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. You go through phases of life. You go through the dream, the decisions, the delays, the difficulties, the dead ends before you get to the deliverance. But you see, where God guides you, he is going to provide for you. Looking again at this verse in closing, God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. It's as if God says to you, think of the greatest dream you could ever think of in your life, and I can top that. I can do better than that. That's the kind of dream that God has for you. It's bigger and better than any ambition. It's bigger and better than any educational process can take you to. It's bigger and better than any goal or desire you could ever dream up on your own. So my question to you as we close this message out, are you ready to do what God created you to do? Are you ready for that? God's dream is waiting for you. God bless you as our worship team begins to lead us in worship at the close of this service. Our altar area up front, maybe you're not used to coming up. If you find yourself today in any one of those six phases, any one of those 6 points, principles relates to you today, just come up to the front and say, lift your hands and say, God, I'm struggling in this phase. I know where I am. I know where I'm at. I know where I've come from, but I want to get to where you want me to go. So, Lord, I surrender my life, surrender my heart, my will, my mind, my stubbornness. I surrender this all to you, God. I want to live the everyday principles of faith. God bless you.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over. I have a hope from your name. I have a strength from your grace, your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through. Do what
Praise the Lord again, church. As we go through life, we take that faith, that measure of faith that God has given to us, and we act upon it. And hopefully, these six principles that we've covered will take and be a blessing to you. I talked about being God's GPS. Maybe you're in the dream stage. Maybe God has just given something to you that he wants you to do, and that's where you are. But there has to be a decision that's made. Are you going to do this, or are you not going to do this? So we make the dream. We go from the dream. We go to the decision. We make the decision, and then sometimes it almost seems like God just puts everything on hold. I know for me, 5 years from when God gave me the dream, I made a decision. It was a 5-year process. But God did a lot of things in that waiting room of my life. And I want to encourage you today, don't get frustrated. It's easy to. But get busy, keep doing God's work, keep praying, keep fasting, keep reading his word, get involved in ministry. Let God use, this is hard sometimes, but I like to compare to where that we're all blocks of wood or sandpaper. And sometimes we rub against each other and somebody rubs us wrong, and it's just because God's trying to take their sandpaper and rub off a little rough edge. And sometimes somebody's sandpaper's rubbing on you a little bit. Iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes God uses other people. But you're in the waiting room. Don't detour. Don't try to skip that. We go through testing. God says, okay, let's see how much you've learned. Let's see how well you're doing. God tests us. And then sometimes we feel like we've just hit this dead end. And we're just, God, I've hit this wall. I'm ready to give up. God says, no, when you get to the dead end stage and you've hit that wall, Oh, deliverance is just right next door. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep pushing. And God will deliver because God is faithful. God is faithful. God bless you. If you're a guest of ours, again, thank you so much for joining us. We've gone a little bit long this morning. I apologize for that, but enjoy the rest of your day. Vosis will be in here in about 6-7 minutes, our Spanish church, and they'll start there getting ready for their service. God bless you.